and welcome to Raising a Pro. I'm Annie Apple, journalist and NFL mom to my son, Eli Apple. Today, we're chatting with Bernadette Sue, school teacher and mom to Tampa Bay Buccaneers defensive tackle, Ndamukong Suh. In his father's native tribe in the country of Cameroon, which is in the continent of Africa. Africa is a whole ass continent, not a street or a city, whatever. His name, Ndamukong, means house of spears. And when it comes to defense and going after the quarterback, Ndamukong Suh knows how to bring the pain. From Defensive Rookie of the Year in 2010 with the Detroit Lions to going to the Super Bowl with the LA Rams after they and the referee cost New Orleans Saints the opportunity to go to the Super Bowl, and then the Rams went, played New England, and laid an egg. Whew, yes, I had to get that out. Yes, I'm still quite not over that, but therapy is helping. Ndamukong Suh is now with the Bucs, and guess what? Tampa Bay Bucs are in the playoffs. Ndamukong Suh is as ferocious on the field as he is a great thinker off the field. Let's get to know this quiet giant through the eyes of his mom, Bernadette.
Well, he started playing in high school. You know, as a child, he was always big. He was 10 pounds, some ounces when he was born. And growing up, folks have always had high expectation of him because of his size, not realizing he was a lot younger than he looked. In middle school, a lot of his friends were playing Pop Warner and basketball and all the different sports. Well, he didn't join football until high school. He played soccer, he played basketball, and he was very good at those sports. And in high school, as a freshman, he came home one day and asked if he could play football. And having watched football over the years, I thought, you know, this is a very physical, dangerous sport, and I don't like it. But anyhow, when he asked if he could play football during his freshman year in high school, because apparently the coach approached him and asked why he wasn't playing football, and he said, well, my mom doesn't want me to play. And every day he would come home and say, Mom, I think I should play football. The coach wants me to play football. And I would continuously say to him, no, I don't want you playing football because it's too physical. It's too physical. So after many, many days of him asking about playing football and saying that the coach says he would be on varsity, not JV or freshman, I gave him a challenge and I said, look, if you can get a 3.0 or better in all of your classes your freshman year, maybe as a sophomore, I will allow you to try playing football. Because he had no practice at all with football. And so he became so involved with his studies. When he had met my goal, I said, oh my gosh, I kept praying about it. And I said, you know, okay. Because at that point, I didn't feel comfortable not allowing him to do what I had asked them to do, because he would never probably forgiven me. But anyhow, I agreed to it, and he went on and played and tried out his sophomore year for the varsity team. And of course, by then, the coach knew he wanted him on varsity because of his size and just watching him play basketball and soccer.
I'll be right back with more with Bernadette in just a minute. But first, I want to really shout out Sakura for supporting this show. For all you mamas out there looking for a clean prenatal and to get your nutrition on point, Sakura have got your back. They know how hard it can be to find a clean prenatal supplement that is both pure and potent. And so when the two ladies that founded the company got pregnant at the same time, they decided to make one. Sakura is a nutrition company that focuses on overall wellness, starting with what you put in your body. They create delicious chef-curated meals that put a focus on nutrition. Along with their meals, they also have effective supplements like prenatal, which is a daily supplement pack that contains all the clean essentials you need to support your entire pregnancy journey. They're plant-based, vegan-friendly, and bioavailable. And right now, Sakura is offering our listeners 20% off their first order of the prenatal when they go to Sakura.com/wrap or enter code WRAP at checkout. That's Sakura, Sakura.com/wrap, R-A-P, to get 20% off your first order. Sakura.com/wrap. Don't say I never gave you anything. I'm trying to imagine him playing soccer. I'm trying to imagine Ndamukong playing soccer right now.
Actually, he was very good at soccer. And I thought if he was going to be a professional athlete at anything, it would be basketball or soccer. He was a goalie and a forward in soccer. And he was very good. He was very good. But at one point, he got very big for soccer.
Clearly. He's, what, 6'4", 307
yes,
pounds
right.
now?
Yes, yes, yes.
Sir, you cannot play on our team. We are sorry. The other kids are 4 feet.
Yeah, well, the thing is, when he showed up for soccer, a lot of the opponent coach would request to see his birth certificate because
absolutely
they thought that
and
he
baby
was,
pictures
yes because they thought that he was older than he looked, but he was just a big kid, you know. And so, but yeah, when they saw his birth certificate, particularly when we were when the team was entering competitions, you have to show birth certificate and proof of age and so on. And when they saw, oh, they thought many times that he was an assistant coach or even the coach. But yeah,
they probably thought he was one of the dads.
Yeah.
Hey, Dad, you can't play on here. Uh-huh. Where's your son?
But yeah, he has had some. He has had very good experience in high school playing football. But the story is, by the end of his sophomore year in high school, for some reason, the world knew about this kid at Grant High School in Portland, Oregon.
In Portland, Oregon.
Yes, who was playing football. And I began to get so many phone calls from different colleges. The school began to get lots and lots of calls wanting to come and see this kid who they heard is so good, and they wanted to recruit
him. And I know
him.
Your mailbox was full. Oh. I remember the recruiting era. I mean, it was just mail after mail
yes.
after mail. I don't know how many trees these universities kill, but it's a lot of trees.
Yes.
It's a lot of mail.
Yes, yes, it certainly was. And the thing is, I was getting a lot of calls from Eastern school or school outside of my time zone. And with the 3-hour difference, I was getting phone calls at 6 o'clock in the morning.
I know you were like, no, he's not coming to your school. Now let me go back to bed.
Yeah, I know. Well, the thing is, I had to put restrictions, you know, where he could only accept calls certain days of the week because it became very, very distracting. I mean, if we allow...
It's a lot.
Yes, it is. If we allow recruiters to recruit our kids at their pace in terms of whenever they want to call, whenever they want to talk to our kids would never get anything done.
They would never get anything done. It was so funny because for Eli, it became so much that he committed his junior year. Because he just wanted the whole process over. He was like, I'm done. I don't want to go to Ohio State. I'm good. You know, because it was just a lot. So he was just like, and I remember the defensive coordinator, Bob Diaco from Notre Dame, sent him a handwritten letter saying, listen, you should wait. You should change, you know, whatever. Eli was just at that point. He was ready to just move on from that process because it was a lot.
Yes, it is a lot. And when you're trying to manage your child's time for studying to make sure that they're not slipping by getting a big head from all these calls and recruit letters, you know, you really do have to step in and put, you know, restrictions in terms of the day they can talk to a coach or the time they can talk to a coach. Because like I said, we had so many phone calls, so many handwritten letters, you know, of coaches interested in him.
So how did you keep him humble, though? How did you keep him, you know?
Grounded. Yeah, I had to, you know, by letting him know that this is not something that's engraved in stone. And so, you know, your education is most important and you can't just listen to those coaches, you know, they want you to come in and build their program, but you need to make sure you get your exactly. education and stay focused, you know. So, yeah, that's what I had to do as a mom. I really had to make sure that he stayed grounded by making sure that he studies when he was supposed to study, check homework, making sure that he was getting assignments in. Because I saw in the past what had happened to a lot of kids. They start getting a big head, that, you know, and not remembering that they still had homework.
In order for you to get to college, you actually have to do the schoolwork. Exactly.
Right, exactly.
So coming from Portland, Oregon, being so heavily recruited, I mean, your mailbox is overflowing. What made Nebraska the right choice for Indomicon?
Well, you know, he had gone to a camp and had met with several other players that were thinking about going to Nebraska. And when he went to visit Nebraska, he really fell in love with the facility, the coach, and the match that it made for him in terms of his major that he was interested in. When he came back from his recruiting trip, he said, "Mom, I think this is..." And of course, that was his first visit he had made. He came back and he said, "Mom, this... I really want to go to Nebraska." And I said, "No, you're
not..." So Nebraska was his first visit? Was that his first
official... Yes.
Get out of here.
It was his first official visit. And he came back so excited and so pumped that that was the school. And I said, "No, you're not going to Nebraska. It's too cold. You need to visit some other schools so you can, you know,
have something to compare." Yeah.
Right. And so after he visited Cal in Berkeley and Oregon, University of Oregon, and a school in Miami and Mississippi State, because that's where his sister went, and the coaches were very familiar with him there too. You know, he was truly fixed on going to Nebraska. So at that point, I said, "Well, you know, it's up to you. The decision is yours." And of course, as he went on these recruiting trips, I gave him a notebook with questions that he needed to ask, to really get a clear view of whether or not he really wanted to go there. So he had a lot.
And what was the list? And you gave him a list of questions?
Well, he and I sat down and composed some questions of things that he needed to ask the coach and things that he needed to look for, you know, particularly like support, academic support. You know, if he were to get sick while he's away from home, who is going to take care of him? Because I am 3,000 miles away. You know, I can't, you know. So those were different things. And of course, when the coach came to do home visit, I asked a lot of those questions too. So, you know, and compare the answers. So, yes, of course, some of the coaches said, "Oh, we've never had a parent ask us these many questions," or, you know, "They're just glad to get rid of their son." I said, "Well, not this, Mom. I'm sorry."
First of all, that's a very dumb thing to say of your coach.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of parents are so glad that their sons are being recruited and are being given a scholarship, which they think is free, that, you know, they
don't ask. Thank you again, because it's not free. It's not
free. They're working. They're making sacrifices from their education, taking time out of their studies to go to practice, to play games, to travel, exercise, you know, all those things. It's a sacrifice that these boys are making.
And it's five jobs in one.
Exactly. And so it's hard work. And I wanted to make sure that he was not going to be used and thrown out. You know, I wanted to make sure that he was going to get the education that he truly deserves and needed to have to function in society.
So he goes to Nebraska. What was the college experience overall like for you guys?
Well, it was great. It was a great experience, and it was a good choice for him because he had a lot of support, academic support, athletic support. So, yeah, I was very, very pleased with Nebraska. And he was, too. You know, he was very happy with the coach and with the academic support that he received. So I was just happy that he was feeling successful at Nebraska.
So he came out of Nebraska with a construction management degree in engineering. And when it was time to go for the draft, what was the feeling like when it was draft time?
Well, that in itself was another experience because he
it's so exhausting.
It was extremely exhausting, but you know, it was a really nice exhaustion because as a senior, he was nominated for several college awards, the Nagurski, the Lombardi, the you name it. And so his senior year, we were flying from one coast to the other for these awards. He was even nominated for the Heisman Trophy, and we were in New York for a week for that. It was a great experience. I loved it. I enjoyed it. I wish I had another son to experience the same because I would.
It's not too late.
It is very late. But yeah, I would, you know, because then I would know exactly what to expect. But with my son, I didn't know what to expect. And so I was just going along. And looking back at it now, it was a great experience and I really thoroughly enjoyed it.
And how did, like, let's talk a little bit about Ndamukong's personality, right? Because he does seem very serious a lot. How was he managing and handling all this attention?
He did fine with it. And you're right. He does seem serious all the time, but I think a lot of it is deep thoughts. He's just a deep thinker. He's thinking about what's happening, what's going to happen next, or what he thinks might happen next. And so, I know a lot of people say that he looks mean. I know he had a high school teacher that thought that of him, that he just walks in looking mean in her class every week. But no, he's just a serious fellow. He doesn't open up to people very easily. You really do have to get to know him to feel comfortable around him. But deep down, he's really a nice, kind, sweet young man. And I'm not saying that because he's my child. I'm just saying that because that's truly who he is.
So, you know, you just said something that stuck with me. You said that he's always looking at the next moment. You know, he's always focused on the next moment. Have you ever tried to get him to live in one moment? It's like, just enjoy this one. He's always looking for what's next. Such a defensive player, right?
Yes,
because when you're
exactly.
a defensive player, you're always anticipating. You're always anticipating.
Exactly. And that's exactly what he does. I think he's at that point now where he's living in the moment because, you know, he realizes that, you know, it is what it is. He's, you know, you do have to look ahead, but at the same time, live in the moment, as you said. Yes,
exactly. So he's drafted to the Detroit Lions, number 2 overall. And what was that like for you? Watching him, this kid who started playing football his sophomore year, goes to Nebraska. Now he's getting drafted 2nd overall. What was that like for you as a mom?
Well, it was a big debate whether he was going to go to Tampa, where he is now, or to Detroit, even though Detroit had the 2nd overall pick. Anyhow, Detroit was 2nd on the board, and they were very fixed on drafting him. And so that's exactly where he went, even though he could have also gone number 1 at the time. But at the time, the team, I can't remember the team that picked number 1, but they wanted a quarterback. And since he was not a quarterback, he didn't go as number 1. But it was great. He talked with his agent and they, you know, he felt that that was the best place for him to go at the time. So, yes.
I believe the number 1 pick overall was Sam Bradford.
Right.
Was
yes. Right.
Yeah.
And he had not played his senior year because he got hurt. And so he just spent his senior year rehabbing. And so that's why the dilemma was either my son would go number 1 or number 2. So, and then number 3 was Tampa, you know. So, yeah, but, you know, Detroit was great. You know, things always work out for the best.
Exactly.
know, he went to Detroit and he loved Detroit. It was great. I loved the experience of living in Detroit. It was a new experience for him in a big city, culturally, Motown. And yeah, there was just a lot.
Motown.
Yeah, it was just a lot of things to see and do in Detroit. So yes, the folks there was very welcoming. The crowd.
The fans. But you know what? We all know NFL and football is definitely a business. So after about 5 years in Detroit, what was the decision like, you know, about him moving on? Because I think he ended up going to Miami next, right?
Right, he did. Well, Miami was just waiting for Detroit not to re-sign him, even though Detroit was debating. I'm not sure what was their reason, but they were debating on either the amount that he was worth or whether they could get someone coming out of the draft for less money. But Miami was just sitting and waiting for him. And that's exactly what they did after negotiating a couple. Miami decided, well, you know, we're going to get this guy. And that's exactly what happened. He went to Miami. And that, too, was a great experience. But it was just further for me to fly to.
So in 2015, he signed with Miami, a 6-year deal. $114 million, $60 million guaranteed. At that time, it made him the highest paid defensive player in NFL history. We know that has since changed. But what was that like? You know, you're looking at your child now have access to all this money. What was And you're a school teacher, so what were you like? Okay, how do you keep him grounded from 5 years in Detroit, now Miami, and the money?
Well, you know, he did well with it. I didn't have to do much work at that point because, you know, early on, like I said, you know, he's a humble child. He growing up seeing, you know, what I did, what his dad did. And so he just learned to put things in perspective, and he was fine. He was fine.
You know why he was fine? Now let's go back to it, because he had his sister right there with him, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
In Gum, she handled his marketing and his business. And I think I saw that by even his first rookie year, she had like 3 endorsements. She set up his foundation. So shout out to Ngum because she held her brother down. What was that like watching your 2 children work together?
It was great. It was great. I really felt like I had done my job as a mom raising them both.
From college where he was the man, right? What was your advice to Ndamukong when it comes to dating?
Oh, wow. Just know who is coming around, you know, who is trying to get your attention before you seek their attention. And that's basically it. You know, there were several examples out and around in the world that I pointed out to him. Be sure that, you know, your name doesn't get caught into things like this.
Damn, burn it down, let the boy live.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't like negative news is what I always say to him. You know, I don't like negative news, so please don't get your name caught in this. So, you know, yeah.
And if you do, change your name. Don't be out there destroying our good name.
Yeah.
If you're going to act a fool, get a new name.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, so from Miami, he went to the LA Rams. And I have to say this because in 2018, we were in divisional playoff. Not we, but our sons. Eli was with the Saints. And Dominican was with the Rams in New Orleans. Were you at that game?
Correct. Yes, I was.
Goodness. Why didn't she? Okay, so that game was a pivotal game because I just want you to go on record right now, Bernadette, and tell the world that we should have won that game.
I can't say that. You know,
tell the truth, Bernadette. Now, I have to remind everyone, we pretty much had the game. All the ref had to do was thrust the flag, which was literally pass interference. Stevie Wonder could see it was pass interference. You know what I mean?
Everybody could see
it was pass. And the guy didn't. And it was crazy scene in the Superdome. I mean, people were throwing bottles. It was crazy.
I know.
And because had they called that, we would have literally been on 1-yard line, scored.
Yes.
Game over. We go to the Super Bowl. I, Annie Apple, take my behind to the Super Bowl for the first time and act a whole fool. But you know what? God and the universe had other plans.
Exactly. It wasn't for you. It was for my son to have had. It was great. It was great because I had never been to a Super Bowl before, and it was just...
Yeah. Let's get past that. We don't care. Let's go on.
It was just one. Well, even as a guest. Actually, that's not true. I had been to a Super Bowl before. I went to the one in Arizona.
Yeah, but it's different when your son is playing. It's different as a parent.
Right. And so, that Super Bowl was great. It was wonderful. Atlanta was great to us. And it was just a great experience. And if you get a chance to go to a Super Bowl just to visit, the crowd is massive.
I've been to two. I went to the one in Houston a few years ago, and then I went to the one in Miami. I was in Atlanta for that one, but I didn't go, clearly.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes, we know why you didn't go.
You know, but I have forgiven you guys and the ref. You know, it took a while for the ref. The ref thing, I'm still working on. No, I'm at peace with it. I think one thing we both learn about football is that you live in a moment, you know that God always has a plan, and it's never about us, right? It's about what he desires to do in the lives of our sons, and it's about their process. And our job is just to be there to support them, to encourage them, and just be a source of strength and laughter.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Plus, it's not good physically for you to hold on to things anyway. Gotta let go.
Yeah.
Gotta let go.
But that ref, no, he was wrong. Girl, I'm sorry. So he does 1 year. Now, let's talk about this because we both share this experience. Eli was in New York. Then he went to the Saints. And then he went to, briefly, we're just going to sneeze at Charlotte anyway. But what was it like for you? You know, in college, you had one team, right? He was in Nebraska for 4 years. Mm-hmm. Then he goes to Detroit. He's there for 5. And then he goes to Miami. He's there for 3 years. And then now he's in LA. Now, let's talk about him now. He's in the Bucks. So you have a lot of jerseys, let's just say. What do you do with the stuff, with the jerseys of each team?
Oh, they're all hanging in my closet. I stopped spending money blinging each of them out because I usually have a bling jersey.
Yeah.
And so everyone knows that I'm his mom when I'm at the game. But this last two teams, I have not.
You have not blinged out the Bucks jersey?
No.
We won't tell the Bucks fans. Tampa Bay Bucks, yeah. Blinged a jersey.
Well, I do have a nice jersey, but I don't have the blingy.
So I guess when we see you and we don't see the bling jersey, we know that he's not going to be there long. Is that, can we?
Well, that's kind of, however long he wants to be with the team is his prerogative. I try not to get into that part of it.
Yeah.
Other than, to just be there to support him. And that's really where I'm at right now.
So he is with Tampa now. And
yeah, he is.
And how is that? Because, I mean, he's with Tom Brady.
Correct, yes.
The guy who he was trying to...
Take down
in the Super Bowl that we should have been in. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the Super Bowl, that Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, he's faced Brady many, many times before the Super Bowl. Thanksgiving when he was in Detroit, that was always a New England Thanksgiving game. And I think his first NFL sack came against Brady.
So what is it like now for him playing on the same team with this future first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback?
I have not had much discussion with my son about that because simple fact that,
just try to imagine them at practice now. It's like, okay, Dominic, take it easy. I know it's tough, but we're just practicing.
Yeah, I know. I have not had a discussion with them about that for the simple fact that, you know, I'm here and he's there. We're in different time zone. And whenever I want to talk to him, he never tells me in details anything about the team anyway. So I just know that he's working hard and doing the best he can to get to another Super Bowl.
we're getting ready to wrap up, but now he's in, like, he's a vet. He's a vet, right? He's been in this league, oh my God, over 10 years. Right,
yes, now, this season. He's 11. This is his 11th season.
Oh my God.
11th season.
So now he's, you know, towards the end. If you had to pray, how much longer do you think he's going to play? And what do you think the next phase of his life is going to bring?
Well, he's never really stopped working outside of football. He has been doing a lot of business things outside of football from the time he signed his first contract until now. And I don't think he's going to stop for a while. So he'll stop playing football, but he won't stop doing what he's been doing, and that is to create business adventures. So, yeah, he's a businessman. Not only is he a football player, but he's a businessman.
What are you most, when you look back at his career, not just on the field, but off, what are you most proud of him?
Well, that he's handling himself the way he is. He's graduated from college. He has good friends. He's surrounded himself with good business people. I know he shadowed Mr. Ross, from the owner of the Dolphins, one summer, and other summers he's done some shadowing at Nike in their business department, in addition to some other places. So, you know, he's really used his off-season time well. And I know he was going to do some classes at Harvard University this past summer, but because of the virus, he didn't participate in it. But I'm most proud of him because of the businessman that he's become.
None of us like negative news, but when you look back, what are some of, over the years, some perception of him, and how do you handle those perceptions of him based on the person that you know? How are you as a family able to handle the perception versus the reality?
Well, yeah, there were some negative things about him when he was in Detroit. But, you know, I've moved on from it. And I just as soon not talk about it, because, you know, I know who he is. I know he's not the person they think he is. He's a kind, sweet, loving person. And, you know, football is a very physical sport, and that's in part why I didn't want him to play it. But I'm just very proud of who he is. I know who he is, and so when I hear reporters say ABC about him, and I know it's not true, I just, you know, let it roll off my back like a duck out of water.
Like water in a duck's back. So
yes,
kudos to Ndamukong for really sticking to, you know, you gave him the opportunity. Said, okay, if you want to play 3.0 or better, he did his part. Shout out to all those kids who were happy when he no longer played soccer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they were like, good riddance.
Yes.
So yeah. Last question. What is your dream for your son? What is your prayer for him as you go forward? Like, what are some things when you think about him and you pray, you think of?
That he continues to be successful in life and whatever he chooses to do, having a family, getting married, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, I'm just praying that he leaves the sport in good health and can have a long life.
And how many grandkids do you want? How many grandkids?
It's really not.
Oh, let's just say if it was.
You know,
how many?
I say 5 or 6 is always plenty. And 5 or 6 is great to have, you know.
Okay. And if Dominic, if his girlfriend's listening, 5 or 6, honey, get the uterus ready. Get the womb ready.
No, his wife.
His wife.
He's now married.
When did that happen?
Yes, he got married back in April. In May. He got married in May. So, yes.
Oh, my God. You didn't tell us. You did not tell us. Don't worry. You know, Bernadette and I had beef with the Super Bowl. We're about to have beef right now. Congratulations.
He got married in May, and he was planning a big wedding, but because of the virus, nothing was able to happen. And so he and his fiance just went to the church and got married after he proposed to her at the in Wimbledon in in France. He took her to France and proposed to her there. And
okay, he's the romantic one.
Yeah. So, I'm just real happy for him that, you know, he's found the love of his life and that I'm just wishing them, you know, good health and long life and love together. So, and lots of kids, and lots of kids, yeah.
Get ready, Mrs. Sue, get ready. You're going to be busy for the next 6 years. But thank you so much, Bernadette. I definitely appreciate your time. It's been fantastic.
You're certainly welcome.
What a chill woman. Believe it or not, Indomitian is as chill as his mom, Bernadette, off the field, that is. Though he's often feared for his strength, his size, and power on the field, I was mostly impressed by his ability to anticipate and plan both his moves on the field and off, from his businesses to life after football. I also love that he entrusted the energy, wisdom, and business savvy of his sister to run his affairs. It's clear she has been a phenomenal asset for him, so kudos to them both. Not surprising, but it was interesting to hear that Bernadette doesn't read or pay attention to what's being written about her son because, honestly, she knows who he is and what kind of man he is. And we've seen that on Raising a Pro. A lot of the moms don't pay attention to what's written. Good for them. In pro sports, our sons are always being evaluated and judged based on media perceptions by people who honestly really don't know them. But that's the narrative the fans see and accept. Which brings me to today's Annie's Clapback. When you read something about a player, ask yourself, who's benefiting from this information and why do you now have access to it? Everything in pro sports is strategic. There are no accidents. All leaks are intentional and they usually never benefit the player. So before you go believing what you read, ask yourself, is this credible information or strategic manipulation? And most often, it's always strategic manipulation. As always, thank you for listening. Raising a Pro is part of the Audio Boom Originals Network. We would love it if you would just support this podcast by rating and reviewing the show on Apple Podcasts or share with someone you think will love it. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app or hit that follow button on Spotify so you don't miss any new episodes. See you next time, family.